You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: A Personal Relation with the Holy Spirit, a One Triune God. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each distinct, but at the same time one. In many churches, you will hear this proclaimed, yet the executing and communicative force of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is often not given the recognition it deserves. In this series, I intend to pause and explain why we dedicate significant attention to the Holy Spirit. Let us first consider the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 25. Amplified Bible. It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed. Notice, it is I, Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision as a supposed requirement of salvation, Christ will be of no benefit to you, for you will lack the faith in Christ that is necessary for salvation. Once more, I solemnly affirm to every man who receives circumcision as a supposed requirement of salvation that he is under obligation and required to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ if you seek to be justified, that is, declared free of the guilt of sin and its penalty, and placed in right standing with God through the law. You have fallen from grace, for you have lost your grasp on God's unmerited favor and blessing. For we, not relying on the law, but through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, are waiting confidently for the hope of righteousness, the completion of our salvation. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and working through love. You were running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? This deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers leavens the whole batch. It perverts the concept of faith and misleads the church. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view contrary to mine on the matter. But the one who is disturbing you, whoever he is, will have to bear the penalty. But as for me, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, as I had done before I met Christ, and as some accuse me of doing now, as necessary for salvation, why am I still being persecuted by Jews? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross to unbelieving Jews has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you by teaching that circumcision is necessary for salvation would even go all the way and castrate themselves. For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one precept: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must not become conceited, challenging or provoking one another, envying one another. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 25, we read much that we must take to heart. Paul speaks to the church in Galatia, addressing both Jew, the circumcised, and non-Jew, uncircumcised, not to a specific person, but to all believers, including us. The church was straying away from sound doctrine, moving back towards paganism and Judaism, the teaching of the law. Through this letter, we see that when we were among the unsaved, we were slaves to sin. But through the love of Christ and His sacrifice, we are redeemed, bought, and freed from the yoke of slavery. Paul tells us that it is not enough to be a Jew or call ourselves Christians. If that is all, we will fall back under the yoke of slavery. For if we do not trust Him, we will gain nothing from Him. We, the believers in Jesus Christ, as stated in verse 5, are not relying on the law, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, are able to be righteous and in good standing with God, thus being able to enter the kingdom through the love of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we see too often today that people, at some point, slow down or even give up on the race we are running. People are all on fire in their spirit when they become born-again Christians or when they become church members. But then a slowdown begins, and eventually they sit down on the sidewalk, watching others pass them by. You know, it sneaks in, subtly. A small thing in the news, on the Discovery Channel, in the newspaper, or something someone said in church. Some small thing that is not solid doctrine, but makes you doubt. And in the end, we lose our sight on the prize. Of course, Jesus still loves us, but we have gone our own way, and now we must return to Him. His hand is always stretched out. It is up to us to reach for it, to grip it, and say, "Jesus, help me up. I'm not done yet running the race." It takes just a little yeast to make bread rise. In the same way, it just takes a little misdirection to take the wrong exit on I-35 and end up in Dallas instead of Houston. When someone walks a line and is not walking exactly 30 degrees north-northwest after 10 yards, it won't be noticeable, but after 2,000 miles, they are far off from the target. In this same way, we must be careful in our Christian walk and examine and study diligently and continuously. Within the church membership, we encourage the study of God's Word, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day. Don't take the pastor's word for it. Read the text around the text he is using. Don't forget the Holy Spirit is alive and working within and with me. but I'm still human. Church members, through this, have also expressed the willingness to serve one another, as we read in verses 13 to 14. Walking and living habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and guided by the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to withstand the cravings and desires of human nature without God. When a Christian is saved and allows the Holy Spirit to work in their life, then our spirit makes room to fuse with the Holy Spirit. As the church hymn says, "More of you and less of me, Lord." More and more of our worldly ideas and desires are replaced by the ideas and desires of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, Amplified Bible. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture tells us that a Christian is recognized by their fruit, when it is indeed more of thee and less of me, when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and when we are running the race with joy and perseverance, we will be recognized by the fruit we carry. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, Amplified Bible. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. The people belonging to Christ have, like Christ, put away the godless human nature, crucified the flesh. When we live life with the Holy Spirit, we also develop a greater hunger for what is good, desiring more of the Holy Spirit and less of our personal spirit. Walking in line with, beside, having communion with, and talking with the Holy Spirit. It is easy to become jealous or ill-tempered when something does not go according to plan. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is one with God the Father and Jesus the Son, and with that Holy Spirit fused with ours, we will do better each and every day. As was already promised to Abraham, God would bless him because he was faithful, and God would also bless those who blessed him. Walk with the Holy Spirit, keep on blessing the Spirit, communing with him, and like Abraham, you will continuously be blessed. Now let us change our focus slightly to the letter to the Galatians and examine the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, do not squander them. Listen to the word and be blessed. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Amplified Bible. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When the Apostle Paul writes, "Christ lives in me," this is not something that we should see as the Lord Jesus Christ physically living in us, but rather what He gave, the Holy Spirit. When we read it again, let's consider it as something we could say to each other. All my evil self, all the bad things are on the cross with Christ, but I am still alive, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. This being alive is also a promise. Even when we die now, we will be resurrected at the coming of Christ. We will be resurrected either to life or to eternal damnation. What a glorious promise we have in this verse. The Holy Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit who helps and guides us. Jesus Christ provides us with a place to be with the Heavenly Father. Jesus himself said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." To the thief on the cross, he said, "Today you will be in heaven with me." What a glorious promise. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Tree of Life version. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. At that time, you walked in the way of this world, in conformity to the ruler of the domain of the air, the ruler of the spirit who is now operating in the sons of disobedience. We too all lived among them in the cravings of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. By nature, we were children of wrath, just like the others. But God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, to show in the Olam Haba the measureless richness of his grace in kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. You, who he has made alive, were dead in trespasses and sins. Because of our sins and trespasses, we were doomed to be resurrected to death. But through Jesus' death on the cross, his forgiveness of our sins, the price he paid by his death, we are made alive. We are transferred from death to eternal life. First, we lived and moved around on this earth, following and living by the teachings and rules acceptable by the world's standards. With that, we lived according to rules and regulations set by the world, and therefore by Satan himself. We were indeed disobedient children to the Lord our God. There are only two choices. We live life according to God's will or to Satan's will. There is no other choice. When we live life according to the rules of the world, we will be resurrected to damnation. But O Glory, verses 4 and 5 tell us, "But God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved." Even when we were dead, by his grace and mercy, we are made alive together with Christ. By grace, we are saved. And it doesn't stop there. He has raised us together and has a place for us in heaven with Christ. By grace, we are saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. The hearing is the understanding of God, his love, grace, and mercy. Understanding that is given through the Holy Spirit, which in turn is given to us by God the Father and Jesus the Son, in the covenant that he made with us by his suffering and death on the cross. Now that we know we are alive in Christ and have discarded our old life, Christ has released in us his gift to mankind, the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Tree of Life version. Therefore I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called. The vocation in which we are called, our statement of faith, concludes with the assertion that every believer has been anointed in ministry and that God will give everyone a fresh start by simply asking. Anyone who has been under the Word of God has been called into the vocation of spreading God's Word in the Great Commission. This may sound daunting, but it surely and truly is not. Do we not realize that it is the Holy Spirit who speaks for God through us? Just as the Holy Spirit has given us gifts to help with this, in the same way, the Church has been given gifts to assist with the Great Commission. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, Tree of Life version reads, He himself gave some to be emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers, to equip the Kedoshim for the work of service, for building up the body of Messiah. The Church has received these gifts to edify, to uplift the body of Christ. Through the believers, the Holy Spirit must have room to move within the Church. The Church is not the building. The Church is the group of believers coming together to pray, to praise, and to worship God, our Heavenly Father. God has all authority, which is delegated within the Church structure to preserve order among the believers, the body of Christ, of which He is the head. Without the head, Jesus Christ, who gives the orders and delegates His authority through the Holy Spirit to His body, His Church, there would be no order. Everyone would want to be the heart, making the blood flow, forgetting the importance of even the nail, which protects the body from dirt and outside influences from entering. It is, however, that now we have heard God's word and learned that by His grace we have been made alive. We all have received the Holy Spirit, not by our power, but by grace and mercy. Through all of this, we are called into ministry. The gifts of the Spirit are essential to both the Church and the individual believer, serving as tools for edification, growth, and the fulfillment of God's purpose. Within the Church, these gifts, such as those given to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, equip believers to serve one another, building up the body of Christ. They create a structure within the Church that allows the Holy Spirit to move freely and powerfully, guiding the community in unity and purpose. These gifts ensure that every member plays a vital role, contributing to the Church's overall health and effectiveness in carrying out the Great Commission. For the individual believer, the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of God's grace and power at work within them. These gifts, whether they be wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, or prophecy, are not merely for personal benefit, but are meant to serve others and glorify God. They are given to empower believers to live out their faith with boldness, integrity, and love, reflecting the character of Christ in their daily lives. As individuals embrace and cultivate these gifts, they not only grow in spiritual maturity, but also become instrumental in advancing God's kingdom on earth, fulfilling their unique calling and purpose in the body of Christ. We operate under that authority and understanding, out of free will, and within the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.